Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Love County, Oklahoma sits along the southern tip of the state, bordering Texas, and makes up only a small section of the vast landscape of Chickasaw Nation. Consisting of about 10,000 people, Love County is considered by most standards to be small town USA. And I know we hear it all the time, but in Love County, everyone truly does know everyone. And it's a place where a long-established family name can go a long way, and that's not always a good thing. Love County has long been saturated in a particular distrust and level of corruption among county authorities. A corruption that truly reared its ugly head nearly 10 years ago, after a dangerous police pursuit that ultimately ended in the disappearance of two people in the backwoods of Love County. This is the case of Molly Miller and Colt Haynes. Born on April 30th, 1996, Molly Miller grew up with, by all accounts, a large, loving family. Molly was particularly close with her older brother, Garrett, her grandfather, and as she grew into her teenage years, she developed a strong bond with her cousin, Paula Fielder, who was several years older than her, but they became extremely close nonetheless. Molly loved playing softball and was talented at it, and her cousin Paula has said that she always believed Molly could have made a career out of it. Family and friends of Molly's have described her as rambunctious and outgoing. She was feisty and never afraid to speak her mind. Molly was the type of person who always looked out for those she loved, and her family and friends were very important to her. Something important to note about this case is that Molly was half Chickasaw, but that isn't widely known and hasn't been well reported. Her case absolutely falls under the movement of missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I've discussed many times the statistics regarding the violence that Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits face. Molly and her social circle loved to hang out and have fun, and by 2013, when Molly was 17 years old, she had started spending time with a new crowd of friends, who, according to her family, may have been a bit of trouble. At that point in her life, Molly had started becoming more rebellious, as she was approaching 18 and coming into her own. According to her brother Garrett, she had started skipping school and found herself in frequent disagreements with her mother, some of those turning into blow-up arguments. Paula Fielder has stated that around this time, Molly had also started using methamphetamine, probably as a result of the people she was spending time with. In the summer of 2013, Molly met someone named Colt Haynes, but it's unclear how they met or if they had any mutual friends. In fact, there is not much known about Colt at all. At the time Molly met Colt, he was 22 years old, and it's not really clear what the nature of their relationship was. As far as anyone knows, they were just acquaintances who didn't know each other well. There have been rumors over the years that they were dating or that Molly was interested in Colt. Even some news sources reported that they were a couple. But as far as we know, they were just friends, and in July 2013, they had only known each other for about a week. In that week, however, Molly spent a lot of time with Colt, partying and, unfortunately, using drugs. Colt did have a history of drug use and had actually faced charges of manufacturing and dealing methamphetamine. His family has stated that he struggled with addiction for a long time. On the night of July 7th, 2013, at around 11 p.m., sheriff's deputies in Wilson, Oklahoma, were parked at a convenience store when a car pulled into the parking lot and the driver stopped in the store for beer. When the driver left, they sped out of the parking lot, spinning out the tires and flinging gravel at the patrol cars before speeding away. The deputies immediately pursued the vehicle, which began a high-speed chase that would ultimately turn into a missing persons case. The car led police southbound toward Love County, Oklahoma. When the driver turned onto State Highway 76, they turned off their headlights and reached speeds of around 120 miles per hour. At that point, there were multiple police cars involved in this chase. The driver then turned left onto Oswalt Road before turning right onto Long Hollow Road. At that point, there were multiple deputies driving around the area, lights flashing, searching for the runaway vehicle and its driver, reporting to dispatch that they had lost sight of the vehicle when it potentially drove into the woods. Around the same time, the deputies received a radio call from the Love County Sheriff, Joe Russell, asking them to call off the chase. That request would have seemed innocuous, except for one key piece of information. The driver of the car deputies were chasing was James Conn Knipp, known to family and friends as just Conn. And the Love County Sheriff who asked that they call off the chase was Conn's cousin, Joe Russell. Conn Knipp was 21 years old at that time, and he was somewhat of a known troublemaker in Love County. His antics that started the police chase on the night of July 7th were actually well-known habits of his. He was known to intentionally try to piss off police, and as Molly's cousin Paula has said, Conn grew up basically running amok in town. Molly actually knew Conn pretty well. Their families knew each other, and Molly grew up going to some of the same family reunions as Conn. So that is one explanation as to why, on July 7, 2013, Molly was riding in that car with Conn when he led the police on a high-speed chase. Also in the car was Colt Haynes. Investigators were later able to confirm that Molly and Colt were in the car with Conn based on phone location data. The night of the chase, their phones were all pinging in the same location. It's not exactly clear why Colt was in the car with Conn and Molly or what their plans were for that night, but it is reasonable to assume that the trio was hanging out because of drugs. But there is one explanation out there as to how exactly Colt and Conn knew each other and ended up in a police chase together that night. On an episode of Up and Vanished that aired in 2020, Payne Lindsay interviewed Conn's ex-girlfriend, Katie. She dated Conn Knipp from 2009 to January of 2012, and around the time she broke up with Conn, she met and started dating Colt Haynes. In October 2012, Katie and Colt welcomed a newborn son. According to Katie, Conn was extremely violent and abusive toward her, even threatening to kill her at times. Colt knew about the abuse, and in Katie's words, he hated Conn. But Katie said she knew there was only one reason why Colt would be riding in a car or spending any time with Conn: drugs. So back to the night of the police chase. After Conn's cousin, Love County Sheriff Joe Russell, called the deputies off the chase, Conn drove the car down Long Hollow Road, a long dirt road that led directly to his family's property, a huge piece of land covering about 1,000 acres. At that point, deputies had completely lost sight of the vehicle, and after attempting to search the area, they gave up. Less than 2 hours after the chase ended, at 12:57 a.m. on July 8, 2013, a call came into 911 from Molly's phone. But the call was silent and only lasted a few seconds before the line disconnected. There are reports that Molly attempted to call 911 multiple times, but each call was dropped and wouldn't go through. There are conflicting reports that that 911 call at 12:57 a.m. could have been accidental. We just don't know for sure. Over the next several hours, Molly and Colt both made calls from their phones. Records would show that there were 33 incoming and outgoing calls from Molly's phone, all coming from and going to one phone number that belonged to a friend of Colt's. Records also showed that their phones were pinging in an area off of Long Hollow Road, very close to the Knipp family's property line. One friend that was able to answer Molly's phone call said that she was crying and upset, and when he told her he was late for work and couldn't come pick her up, she hung up on him. Molly told friends on the phone that she believed she was lost somewhere near Oswalt Road and Long Hollow Road, which lines up perfectly with where her phone was pinging. Someone that spoke with Colt on the phone that night said that he sounded very much in distress, and had told them he'd climbed up into a tree and fallen, breaking his ankle. He told them that the bone was actually sticking out of his leg, and he was somewhere in a ravine near a creek bed. According to their phone location data, Molly and Colt were in the same area, making dozens of phone calls for several hours. It was very likely that they didn't attempt to get out of the woods and find help because Colt was badly injured and couldn't move. But the last phone call from Molly's phone was made just after 9:30 a.m. on July 8, 2013. Shortly after, around 10 a.m., both Molly and Colt's phones either died or were turned off. Molly Miller and Colt Haynes never emerged from those woods. Friends of Colt and Molly went out searching for the pair in the morning hours of July 8th, riding four-wheelers, trying to contact them, and making noise in the woods, hoping that Colt and Molly would hear them and call out for help. They did not find the missing pair, but they did find Con Nip. Con had apparently made it back home after Molly and Colt fled the car he was driving. But when the friends found Con, there were no signs of Colt and Molly, and no sign of the car Con had been driving in the police chase. When questioned about where Colt and Molly were and where they went after they left Con, Con told the friends that he had never been with Colt and Molly, and he had no idea where they went. Molly's family immediately jumped into action, and they knew that something was wrong and Molly was in danger. Later that day, July 8, 2013, Molly's mother tried to report her missing to the Love County Sheriff's Office, but when she spoke to Sheriff Joe Russell, the sheriff told Molly's mother that her missing daughter, quote-unquote, wasn't his problem, and that she needed to report her missing to the Carter County authorities. Molly's family continued to face defiance and evasion from Love County authorities, who immediately deemed Molly a rebellious runaway teenager. Two people disappeared after a high-speed police pursuit that was called off by Sheriff Joe Russell himself, and he didn't believe that the disappearance of those two people in his jurisdiction, one being a 17-year-old girl, was his problem. Molly's cousin Paula found out that Molly was missing when she saw a Facebook post asking if anyone had seen or heard from Molly or knew what happened. Paula immediately called Molly's mother, and her mother was hysterical, explaining the police chase the night before and telling Paula that no one had been able to find Molly out in the backwoods of Love County. Paula, along with the rest of Molly's family, immediately got to work. They were hitting obstacles with Love County authorities, but they seemed to have better luck with Carter County authorities, who did start following up on leads and tips they received about the disappearance. Although, the help and cooperation they received from Carter County authorities did not last very long. Molly's family extensively searched the area of the woods near Oswalt Road and Long Hollow Road, navigating the brush and venturing into the creek bed and ravine that stretched across the landscape. They searched the surrounding areas as well, turning over every rock and fallen tree limb, trying to find any trace of Molly and Colt. 2 weeks after the police chase and after Molly and Colt were last seen or heard from, one piece of evidence in the case did turn up. Investigators located the 2012 Honda Accord that Con was driving in the police chase. It was abandoned in a field just a few hundred yards from his family's property line, in a wooded area just south of Oswalt Road. The car was found within a couple hundred yards of where Molly and Colt's phones were pinging all night. The car was battered and totaled, confirming reports from neighbors that after the police chase, Con had driven the car through multiple fences and even crashed it through a metal gate. The damages to the car totaled about $18,000. But there was no evidence in the car that indicated what happened to Molly and Colt that night. It turned out that the car didn't even belong to Con. The car belonged to his girlfriend at the time. A witness and associate of Con's told investigators he saw Con leaving the night of July 7th in that Honda Accord, with Colt in the front passenger seat and Molly riding in the back seat. At that point, however, there was still no evidence that might lead to the whereabouts of the missing pair. Paula Fielder has said that on September 1st, 2013, she and a few other family members actually went to Con's house to confront him. Frustrated with the lack of progress in the case, they wanted to try to get answers from the most likely witness to what could have ultimately happened. When Paula asked Con if Molly and Colt were okay when they left the car, he immediately tried to lie, claiming that he was never with them that night and had no idea what happened to them. But Paula was not about to play mind games. She told Con that she knew he was lying and confronted him with evidence, but he still tried to deflect any blame or knowledge. Finally, Paula said, quote, "Con, I know she's dead. Just tell me where she's at," end quote. And at that, Paula says, Con became uncomfortable and started tearing up and getting emotional. At one point, he even said that he was afraid of going to jail. However, that encounter did not lead to any answers about what happened to Molly and Colt that night. There was no further movement in the case until January 2014, several months after Molly and Colt disappeared, when Con Nip was arrested on charges related to the police pursuit on July 7th. Interestingly enough, it was Sheriff Joe Russell himself who arrested his cousin Con. Con pleaded guilty to eluding the police, assault with a dangerous weapon, and unauthorized use of a vehicle. He was ultimately sentenced to 10 years in prison. Con's girlfriend at the time was also arrested and charged with lying to the police and making a false insurance claim. It turned out that the day after the police chase, she tried to report her Honda Accord stolen, but investigators discovered that she actually allowed Con to use her vehicle. She pleaded guilty and received a 3-year deferred sentence. Sometime in 2014, Molly Miller's family hired private investigator Philip Klein and his team to investigate the suspicious disappearance. Klein's team quickly got to work, and they are the source of most of the information about Molly and Colt's phone records from the night they disappeared. The team took cadaver dogs out to the location where the pair's phones were pinging in the early hours of July 8, 2013, and the dogs indicated the scent of human remains in several specific areas in that location, particularly at the foot of a tree believed to be the one Colt had fallen from. But unfortunately, no physical evidence of human remains was found. Sometime in 2014, Philip Klein received information from a witness who said they had something to give Klein that was related to the disappearance of Molly and Colt. What that witness gave him was a 9mm semi-automatic pistol and a machete. The witness stated that they received the weapons from none other than Con's mother. According to the witness, Con gave the weapons to his mother just 2 days after the police chase and after Molly and Colt were last seen, telling her to keep them because they would someday prove his innocence. The witness told Klein that when Con gave his mother the weapons, both she and Con's sister were confused and scared. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation took possession of the weapons, but there has never been any update as to whether those weapons were ever tested for DNA evidence. It was after these weapons surfaced in 2014 that the OSBI officially declared Molly Miller's case a homicide investigation, for reasons that we still don't know. The emergence of the two weapons becomes even more peculiar when we learn that on July 20th, 2013, Con's 16-year-old sister filed a voluntary statement with Carter County Police. In the statement, his sister wrote, quote, "My brother Con Nip and I were talking on July 16th, 2013, and he said he was about to go to jail for murder. I didn't believe him. The following day was July 17, 2013, and he told me the same thing and was more serious about it, so I believed him," end quote. Now, going off of the witness who gave those weapons to Klein, Con's sister would have filed that report just a few days after Con allegedly gave the weapons to his mother. Nothing has ever come of that police report, and in fact, on the episode of Up and Vanished, the current Love County Sheriff seems to deny that it has any relevance to or credibility in the case at all. The denial and evasion from these county authorities is so obvious and frustrating and just bizarre. There was no movement in Molly and Colt's case for a few years. Leads and tips were followed up on, and the families continued their own searches. But still, no progress was made. Neither Love County nor Carter County authorities ever organized or conducted any searches for Molly and Colt. Any searches conducted were entirely the work of Molly and Colt's families. So now we fast forward to November of 2015, when the FBI began an investigation into Love County Sheriff Joe Russell. It wasn't until July 19, 2016 that Joe Russell was arrested, and with his arrest came increasing hope that new information would come out in Molly and Colt's case. Joe Russell faced multiple charges, including corruption in office, habitual or willful neglect of duty, willful maladministration, harboring a fugitive, and knowingly allowing drugs to be used and sold out of his home. The investigation began with Joe Russell's son, Willie, a known drug user and dealer. It was alleged that Willie would frequently, with his father's permission, use his father's police vehicle to transport drugs back to the home he lived in with his father. It was also alleged that for 2 months in early 2015, Joe Russell knowingly harbored a fugitive named Sarah, who his son was dating at the time. Sarah was wanted for violation of her probation in Carter County, as well as another warrant in Love County on charges of concealing stolen property. Willie and Sarah would use and sell drugs out of Joe Russell's house, and Joe was accused of knowing this was happening and allowing it to happen, on top of giving Willie the keys to his police vehicle to transport drugs. In April 2015, Sarah broke it off with Willie and moved in with another man. Just days later, she was arrested by Love County Police. In May 2015, a confidential informant convinced Willie to meet them in Carter County so they could purchase crystal meth from him. Willie was hesitant to do any business outside of Love County for reasons that are now clear, but he ultimately agreed to meet them. And with that, Willie was arrested. But only one charge against Joe Russell related to the disappearance of Molly Miller and Colt Haynes. The willful maladministration charge came as a result of investigators discovering that Joe Russell allowed his cousin, Con Nip, to meet with family members at the sheriff's office, unsupervised in a room that contained evidence. Whether the evidence in that room related to Molly and Colt, we don't know for sure. But regardless, it was certainly an egregious move on Joe Russell's part. Joe Russell ultimately resigned from office as the Love County Sheriff, and in March 2017 he accepted a plea deal, after pleading no contest to willful omission to perform a duty. He was sentenced to 1 year of unsupervised probation and a $370 fine. Over the years, Joe Russell has continued to deny any knowledge surrounding Molly and Colt's disappearance, and has refused to make any public comments on the case, even before he was arrested, when he was a sitting sheriff in the county where they disappeared. Con Nip did not serve his full sentence. In March 2018, he was released after serving only 4 years, and his release entailed some supervision and requirements. He was required to remain sober from any substances and he could not own a firearm. But something else happened around that same time that brought about some level of hope for Molly and Colt's families, that maybe new information would come out. In February 2018, Con Nip's uncle, Colby Barrick, was arrested on federal charges of possessing a firearm after a felony conviction. At the time of Molly and Colt's disappearance, Colby lived on Long Hollow Road, where Molly and Colt were last known to be after the police chase that led to their disappearance. During the investigation, it was discovered that Colby actually made an alarming phone call only 8 months after Molly and Colt disappeared. On March 29, 2014, Colby Barrick accidentally dialed 911. And when the dispatcher realized the caller did not know they had called, she kept listening. In the call, the words are a bit garbled, as though the phone is in his pocket, but there are some phrases that you can easily make out. He says, quote, "You're fucking mad, you're fucking tired, fucking Moxley Lake," end quote. And then he says, quote unquote, "a buck knife." Some garbled words after that, and then, quote, "Molly Miller." The most disturbing part is when Colby says, quote, "they shot him in the mouth, right there, I can put my finger all the way through it," end quote. After that, you can clearly hear water splashing and then a distinct gunshot. You can hear the audio of this phone call on the episode of Up and Vanish that covered Molly and Colt's case, Season 1, Episode 4, and fast forward to about 28 minutes and 30 seconds into the episode. When Colby was later arrested on those federal charges in 2018, 4 years after making that accidental phone call, he was sentenced to 48 months in prison. Allegedly, while incarcerated, Colby told someone that Molly and Colt's bodies were in Moxley Lake, which is just north of Oswalt Road and Long Hollow Road, the same lake that he mentioned by name in that accidental 911 call. At that point, Molly and Colt's case had gone cold. Leads and tips were followed up on, but every single one just led to a dead end. It became clear to Molly and Colt's families that someone knew something. Perhaps many people knew something. But because of the grip and the hold that Joe Russell and his family had over the town, nobody wanted to talk. People were afraid. On January 13th, 2021, Molly Miller's family made the incredibly heartbreaking decision to have Molly declared legally deceased. In April 2021, Paula Fielder received information from an informant that she then took to the FBI. Because Molly was Chickasaw, her case legally fell under the McGirt ruling, which was based on a Supreme Court case in 2020, in which the Supreme Court overturned the conviction of child rapist Jimmy McGirt. The conviction was overturned because the Creek Nation Reservation, where McGirt was a tribal member, was never disestablished for criminal jurisdiction, meaning that state courts would no longer have the authority to prosecute crimes that are committed by or against tribal members in Oklahoma. On the basis of the McGirt ruling, the FBI opened their own investigation into Molly Miller's case in May 2021. In November 2021, the Miller family's private investigator, Philip Klein, announced that a probable cause affidavit had been submitted to obtain a search warrant for a property off of Pike Road in Love County, very close to where Molly Miller and Colt Haynes were last known to be based off of their phone location data. The property had never been searched before. But days later, it was announced that the search warrant was denied because there was no evidence that a crime had been committed. And that had been a consistent pattern since Molly and Colt disappeared. The property where they were last known to be or be near on the night they disappeared is owned by a family who absolutely will not allow Molly and Colt's family or even law enforcement to search their property without legal action. And honestly, I don't typically delve into speculation, but it strikes me as bizarre that if you have nothing to hide, if your family has nothing to hide, why not just allow these families to search? It's documented. There is factual evidence that places Molly and Colt near your property, right next to your property line, the night they disappeared. So it can be reasonably assumed that they could have ended up on your property somewhere. Why be so evasive? Why become an obstacle to these families who want nothing more than to just bring their loved ones home? If you and your family have nothing to hide, then why not cooperate? It has been almost 10 years since Molly Miller and Colt Haynes found themselves lost and stranded in the backwoods of Love County, and their families still have not been able to bring them home. Molly and Colt's families have spent the last decade fighting tirelessly for justice and for just a shred of cooperation from law enforcement. At every turn, they have faced obstacle after obstacle and a level of disrespect from county authorities that is plainly unacceptable. Back in September 2013, just months after Molly and Colt disappeared, Molly's cousin, Paula Fielder, created the Operation Find Molly Miller Facebook group in an effort to spread awareness about the case and hopefully push law enforcement toward finding answers. The group has now reached more than 30,000 members and is still active on a daily basis. In July 2022, Rob and Cindy Dorfman created a podcast dedicated to investigating Molly and Colt's case. Rob and Cindy had previously produced the Up and Vanished episode that covered the case in 2020. If you'd like to listen to a well-done investigative deep dive into the case, the podcast is called Partners in True Crime. In December 2022, Rob and Cindy Dorfman also headed up the search of a pond in Love County, close to the last known location of Molly and Colt. It has long been speculated, among many other theories, that Molly and Colt may have been put in that pond. As of now, no evidence has been found in that pond that we know of. Molly Miller and Colt Haynes were last seen in Love County, Oklahoma, on the night of July 7, 2013, around 11 p.m., when they were involved in the police pursuit of a vehicle driven by James Conn Knipp. Following the pursuit, Molly and Colt ended up lost in the woods near Oswalt Road and Long Hollow Road in Love County, Oklahoma. They were stranded in the woods from around midnight to around 9:30 a.m. on July 8, 2013. And during those several hours, they made numerous calls to friends asking for help. They have never been found. Molly Miller was 17 years old at the time of her disappearance. She was 5 feet 5 inches tall and around 95 pounds. She had black hair, blue eyes, and a piercing below her bottom lip. She also had a tattoo of a star on her hip. Colt Haynes was 22 years old at the time of his disappearance. He was between 5'11 and 6 feet tall and weighed around 180 pounds. He had brown hair and blue eyes and several tattoos, some of which include a banner reading Ride or Die on his chest and a Colt 45 gun on his upper abdomen. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Molly Miller and Colt Haynes, please contact the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation at 800-522-8017. All sources for this episode will be listed in the show notes. If you'd like to request a case for me to cover, you will also find a link to a case request form. I have officially launched the Patreon page, where for $5 a month, you can get access to all episodes ad-free. And coming soon, patrons will have access to a monthly bonus episode. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, where I've been uploading all of my episodes in video format. If you like the show, please consider leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Reviews are truly the easiest and the best way to support your favorite shows. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at CrimeAgainPod, on Instagram at CrimeAgainPodcast, on Facebook, just search Crime and Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at CrimeAgainPodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.